Blog Talk Radio.
Man with a 10-inch cock.
Brent Blair.
Great.
Another faggot son of a bitch.
Nicola! I
liked it! The dog!
You go through all the pain inside. You say your back has gone so fast. It goes so fast. Yeah. Oh, so long to wander in the air.
Here you go, I'm trying to check it out.
Hello and welcome to a throwback edition of the Drunk Cast. I am your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and I'm joined by my co-host, the Peach Machine. What's going on, Peach?
Yo, what's up, Ed? How are you? Can you hear me all right?
You sound like you're in a fucking aquarium, dude.
How about now? Does that sound any better?
Not really, dude.
Fuck, I'm calling from my iPhone. I've got my headphones in. I'm doing everything as best I can. I don't know what else to do.
Okay, you sound a little better right there.
Okay. I don't know. Maybe I'll try going outside or something. I don't know, man. It's the best you're going to get from Guam.
Okay, that's okay. Like, you sounded a lot better than the first few things you
okay.
said. So I guess we can survive. So I'll go ahead and apologize to everyone already. This show's probably going to suck because my co-hosts decided they weren't doing the show this morning and left me kind of hanging and drying. And so I got this asshole to do the show, so I figured we'll just do it like the old days so we don't plan shit and we don't have a goddamn thing to talk about for 90 minutes.
Yeah, I was wondering. I didn't get any news emailed to me, and I was like, I wonder what's going on. So what happened? Craig and Contreras decided they weren't having any of this today?
Well, I guess Craig's still doing family Thanksgiving stuff, and Contreras picked his nephews to go see the Muppets.
Oh, fuck, man. I saw the Muppets a couple days ago. I saw it on Thanksgiving here. It was awesome.
Oh, really?
Yeah, man, I really liked it. But did you used to watch the Muppet Show?
Do what?
Did you used to watch it?
Oh, yeah, dude. I've seen, like, every fucking episode ever.
Well, then you'll definitely like it. It was way more geared towards adults and, like, it was just sort of like a throwback. You know, there were some kids in the theater, and they weren't really laughing. I was laughing just at just remembering, you know, sort of the cool things about the Muppets. So, you'll like it.
That's cool. So what did you do for Thanksgiving in Guam? I mean, basically, it's just you and your wife out there.
Yeah, it is. Well, you know, all of the Army is kind of a family, so we had some of her coworkers over, and she brought some of her kids, and they brought over their Xbox, so we played Call of Duty, so that's what we did, killed some zombies. How about you?
Not really. We don't really do much. We just eat, and that's it. That's the only family thing we do. So.
Okay, bummer.
What the hell are you doing? You're making all kinds of noise.
I'm not making any noise.
It sounded like a fucking tidal wave just blew in front of you or something.
I swear to God, I'm not fucking making any noise. I'm trying to
get as quiet as possible. Why don't you, last time when you had called back in, it sounded better. Let's try doing that again, dude.
All right, I'll call back in. All right, give me a second here.
Yeah, I'll play hopefully a clip here.
In the golden age of television, our guest star earned the title of Mr. Television, and he deserves it to this day. Here he is, the incomparable Milton Berle.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you, and good evening. And I want to thank you, Kermit. Thank you for your wonderful introduction. First time I've ever been introduced by an amphibious MC. Because you know what amphibious means. It means he can be dull on land or water. I feel great. I really feel wonderful. I just got back from a pleasure trip. I took my mother-in-law to the airport. And while I was there...
Funny!
Uh-huh. I heard about them. It's beginning. You're the two guys that I heard about that heckle from the box, aren't you? There they are, ladies and gentlemen. Get a look at them. Starsky and Crutch. Don't start with me, boys.
Hey, Burl.
What?
You know what? I've just figured out your style.
Really?
You work like Gregory Peck.
Gregory Peck's not a comedian.
Well?
Just a minute, please. I have been a successful comedian half of my life.
How come we got this half?
Look, did you come in here to be entertained or not?
That's right.
What's right?
We came in here to be entertained, and we're not.
Yeah? I'd like to see you come down here and be funny.
You first.
The audience. Don't pay any attention to him, folks. He's the ninth child of a family of eight. Let me tell this story.
Hey, Burl.
Oh, yes, what is it? What is it?
You know what you're doing wrong?
What am I doing wrong?
You're standing too close to the audience.
Oh, I am? How's this?
You're still too close.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is this okay?
Yeah, a little more.
How far back do you want me to go?
You got a car?
Let me tell you something. If you don't stop, I'll have the usher throw you out.
He can't. He's too busy.
Doing what?
Keeping people in.
And you're encouraging. You know what? I got a good mind to punch you in your nose.
Please, not while I'm holding it.
That's pretty funny.
You can use it.
I don't need your material, pal. I got a million funny lines in the back of my head.
Yeah, how come they never reach your mouth?
Gentlemen, would you please, would you take it easy? Do you think I'm doing this for fun?
Not so far.
Oh, I see. You think you can do better?
I couldn't do worse.
All right. Okay. I dare you both to come down here and entertain.
We should.
Oh, yeah? Do you sing?
No.
Do you dance?
No.
Can you get laughs?
All right, I'm sorry about the hold up here. My computer screen froze, and I had no idea Peach was calling back in to fucking had to get another screen to reopen there. Peach, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. What the fuck were we just listening to?
Well, since we were talking about the Muppets, I put a clip of the Muppets when the Muppets were on Raw. Well, not from the Raw, but just of the Muppets. And I didn't think I'd have to play so much of it, but I was sitting here thinking to myself, what's taking this fucking asshole so long to fucking call back in? And then I'm realizing that the whole fucking page is frozen, so I had to open up a new window and go back to it.
Yeah, I was listening for like 3 minutes, and I had no idea what was going on. That was the Muppets. Who in the hell, what characters were those?
It was Walter and Savage, stupid.
Oh, Walter and Staldorf or Walter, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, they were ripping on Milton Berle.
All right. Well, I couldn't see it. I had no clue what was going on. So, anyway, yeah, man, the Muppets were pretty good. It was we watched a lot of movies down here because, you know, like you said, it's just me and my wife. We've seen quite a few movies, and she went and saw the new Twilight movie last night, and I refused to go to that, but. I hear
yeah,
that.
Whatever. You know you wouldn't have saw it, you and all the other queers in the audience.
Well, I just wanted to go masturbate to Taylor Lautner in jean shorts.
Yeah. Oh, man. But how did she enjoy the show, and is she a member of Team Edward or Team Jacob?
The vampire one, whatever team that one is. Is that Edward?
No, I think that's Jacob. I don't know. But I think it's Jacob.
Yeah, well, that one, the vampire one she likes. And I was like, so wait, no, he got a human girl pregnant, but then I think it, because I was trying to figure out what a human and a vampire make, and apparently it's some sort of disastrous monster that's going to kill her. But I don't know.
Well, I have no idea. I just had with this one guy who was actually read the books, who told me he was going to go see it because he can't figure out how they're going to do the book in the movie. And he says that they have a baby, and then the wolf, the other dude, somehow falls in love with the baby and decides that that's going to be his mate. And so he protects the baby or something. So it's kind of like a lot of bestiality and then like pedophile and all kinds of shit going on in that movie.
Yeah, you know, based on that, it sounds like it might be interesting, but it turns out it's just a really shitty love story.
Yeah, pretty much, unfortunately. So I've never seen one of those stupid, shitty movies, and I don't really plan to.
No, I don't plan to either. And it's just like, yeah, I'm just not gonna sit there and devote 2 hours to that garbage. But anyway, moving along here. So we don't have any news.
Well, we don't have any written news. Thanks a lot, Sherry. You could have still wrote us up some shit. But we can talk about, I guess, certain news. And let's talk about a conspiracy theory. I hope you don't mind talking about this situation. But what do you think of the cover-up between R-Truth, supposedly marijuana failure that ended up turning out to be a spice failure that didn't go into effect until like 3 weeks later?
Yeah, I mean, I read about it. I don't know anything. I mean, I just know exactly what was read. It sounds to me like, you know, it was maybe, you know, maybe they just put off the they knew he failed, and then maybe they just wanted to get that the Rock match done, and so they just ignored it for a couple of weeks. So it seems like to me. I mean, I don't really see what the big controversy is. It's their fucking policy. They can decide. They can decide when they suspend people, you know. So I don't see how there's a controversy.
Well, I think it's written that they're only supposed to let you conclude a storyline for like 1 weekend, and then you're supposed to be gone right away. But I think they kept them on for like 3 to 4 weeks before they acknowledged it. So I think that's what the people were upset about.
So, but I mean, who's upset? Like, who gives a shit? Like, they just. He's still going to get his 30-day suspension. Like, it's not like he's getting out of it. They just sort of waited on it. You know, it doesn't really matter. It's not like anybody. You know, even if they, I don't know as much as you guys know. I just saw that they thought, you know, it might have been a second test or something. So who knows? I mean, nobody really knows if it was when he was actually caught. So, I don't think
and everyone's making too big a deal about that, because the real story is, why are these knuckleheads smoking something that they could get suspended for when they could just get fined for smoking pot?
Man, I don't know. You have to ask them that. I don't smoke anything.
And I just, yeah. We were talking about that after Survivor's War. We were talking about that like last week or something, but to me it's like... Did they even know that they were testing for that? Or it's just, I don't know. It just sounded kind of stupid to me.
Well, who knows? You know, neither of us were there. We don't fucking know what they were smoking. Whatever. And, I mean, the bottom line is it's a dumb policy. Neither of it should be illegal. It's not some sort of performance-enhancing drug. You know, marijuana has lots of positive things about it. You know, it's them trying to just be bitches and cover their bases and say, look how strict our testing thing is. But they don't, you know, then when one of their top guys goes down, they go, let's flub it a little bit, you know, theoretically.
Yeah.
I don't think there's much of a controversy, as much as the controversy people saying, you know, whatever, you know, Evan Bourne got his 30 days and Truth got his 30 days. Would it have mattered if they both were at the same 30 days? I don't think so.
And it especially doesn't matter because they didn't even bother to take the title off of him. They didn't hear enough bother to acknowledge it, actually. I mean, Kofi's going after it with his title, and it's like they're hoping people don't even notice that he's gone for a month or something. I mean, they didn't even, you know, usually, like is that, I don't know, it's just kind of weird. But speaking of drug use, we can go ahead and switch to another topic here. And that was actually a topic that was in the middle, one of the big stories was the last time you were on. And that's everyone's favorite drug addict, Matt Hardy. What's your opinion of Matt Hardy getting busted at rehab drunk?
Oh, dude, that warms my heart. He's such a fuck up, dude. And whatever you know, all those rehab facilities, you know, I guess I'm just basing my you know, sort of assumptions here off what I've seen on celebrity rehabs as far as what a rehab facility is, because I've never been to one. But if they let you go, you know, that's a retarded rehab facility. If they say, okay, you can go home, like, well, what the fuck? They're drug addicts. Of course he's going to go back and get drunk again. Why would you expect anything less? Like, you're not done with the treatment, and they say, hey, you can go home. Like, that seems like the fucking place shouldn't have allowed him to leave. And, you know, his cover-up story of mouthwash is complete nonsense. That's absolutely complete nonsense, but...
And I agree that you shouldn't be leaving rehab, but, I mean, it's one thing if you're self-admitted, but when basically you're in there because if you're not in there, you're going to jail because you're a menace because you can't keep yourself from driving all fucked up, you know.
Right.
There's no way they should have fucking let him out there. I mean, that was fucking stupid. They should have known he was going to get all fucked up. And then what's even more stupider is his excuse. I used some mouthwash.
Yeah.
It's like, the mouthwash got you fucking drunk. Plus, they don't let you, like, they totally search everything you have at these rehabs when you check in and make sure you don't have anything like that.
So what was the story, though? He left, though, and went home or something, didn't he?
He left. He went home for the weekend, got all fucked up. I think he even tweeted some naked pictures of his girlfriend, Ruby Sky. And apparently they were just partying, and I guess... he just went back to rehab drunk and thought he could walk in. I mean, assuming this is what happened. And hell, I mean, this rehab place sounds like he might have even been able to sneak in a bottle or something. But they thought he was acting weird. They made him take a breathalyzer, and then, like, he came up dirty. And, like I say, he was trying to blame it on mouthwash.
Yeah, you know, you drink some mouthwash, you might blow, you know, something really low, like a .0. You know, 1 or 0.02, you might. But even if you do, you're not going to be fucking acting retarded from using mouthwash. So he was drunk and he's got a drug problem. I mean, that's what drug addicts do, is they go get fucked up. Or he's an alcoholic, drug problem, alcoholic, whatever, doesn't matter. He goes and gets fucked up any chance he can, because that's how their brains work, man. They're just wired to go out there and use. So any chance you can, of course he's going to go get fucked up. But, you know, court-appointed in rehab should be a little bit more strict. I figure they'd be on fucking lockdown. I mean, the dude's on a million-dollar bail. Yeah.
I mean, his bond's like fucking what? Like $1 million or something?
Yeah, I don't know how that works.
He goes straight from the airplane right into his police car, right to jail.
Yeah. Well,
so, and I remember when he made the announcement, how he was all trying to make it sound like he finally snapped and he was going to take care of everything and I'm going to rehab and I'm going to get better. And then, you know, of course, the next day you find out it's fucking court ordered rehab, that he didn't have a choice.
Sure. You know, and it was only a matter of time before he ended up in jail anyway. You know, that's just what happens. You know, I guess he was hooked on pills or whatever it was. And fuck it, you know, I feel bad for the dude, but, you know, you gotta want to get help, and I guess he didn't want to get help yet, so now he's going to be locked up. So,
I could feel bad for the guy if he wasn't trying to get attention, but he's trying to get attention throughout this whole thing. I mean, suicide video, or attempted, like, suicide video thing.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
And then, you know, that supposed ghost that pushed him down the stairs where he busted his face all up.
That's funny to me.
So, yeah, I don't know, man. I remember Yeah, I just remember it wasn't that long ago when Matt Hardy was the good brother, and now he's so fucked up and Jeff's the good brother.
Right. Well, you know, it's the end of the Matt Hardy show for a while, and, you know, I think that's probably a good thing. Probably a good thing. And he, when he showed up in TNA, whenever that was, you know, probably like a year ago, and everyone was like, holy shit, it's Fat Hardy. And it was like, this dude is a mess. He does not need to be on TV. And sure as shit, it was just a matter of time before all those eggs started to break. And, you know, surprised Jeff is still going. But I guess Jeff, you know, he did his time in jail, and he's, you know, maybe he straightened it up, and now he's the good brother, so we'll see.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure that those 2 weeks of jail just changed his life.
Ah, fuck, man. I don't want to spend 2 weeks in jail. I don't want to spend 2 nights in jail.
I spent the day just in regular downtown fucking jail one time, and my God, it was, I'll never, ever want to go back there again. I mean, it was the most awful experience.
Oh, did you just get, like, arrested one time and they just put you, like, overnight or something? Like, in the downtown facility?
Yeah, like, fucking, this is, like, probably, like, over 14 years ago. 15, maybe more. But, fucking, I got caught fucking with some weed, right? And,
yeah.
I got arrested. First, you go down to the magistrate, you know, for
right.
a while. So I was there for like fucking ever, and then like for like hours and hours. And then they take me to they put you in a van with a bunch of other fucking criminals, and they take you down to the fucking county jail. And this is the fucking funny part. I was wearing a Stone Cold Steve Austin shirt, and in the front of the shirt it had the finger, and
yeah.
it said something, you know, some Stone Cold saying. And the fucking driver was some big old jacked-up sheriff who kept calling me Stone Cold and fucking talking shit to me. Like, I was like, you know, criminal. I'm like the most fucking best, you know, the most closest, the best citizen in that damn thing. You know, all I do is smoke a little weed, bucket other criminals in there. The motherfucker talking shit to me and calling me Stone Cold. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you're
in there with
like,
violent
fuck.
Criminals.
Yeah, dude, I was just like, fuck, man, what the fuck?
So
and you're in shackles while you're being moved.
Oh,
so,
fuck. I didn't get that far, man. All I did was get arrested and taken to my county's facility and held overnight and just put in one of those holding cells for, like, you know, something like 15 hours. But
yeah.
What happened? Did you just get, like,
well, they took me over there, so you get processed in, and it takes, like, fucking almost a few hours. And I didn't want to, I was too embarrassed at the time. I didn't know better, so I didn't want to, of course, tell my parents. I just had called this one friend of mine, and she ended up, like, I guess, calling my dad. But I ended up having to post my own bond or whatever. So by doing that meant I had to stay there. So I fucking got processed in, and then you go, and they give you your fucking orange pajamas and your orange slippers and fucking everything, and you get fucking strip searched, so yeah, that was fucking fun. So then I had to put on my pajamas, and then I fucking went upstairs, and then they gave you like a mattress, that there's these mattresses outside the big holding cell. They just told me to go to this room, and luckily the dude that was in there was just some like, he was kind of, you know, all sick and stuff, so he just was sick pretty much the whole time. But so I had to sit in this little cell for fucking hours at a time, and then they let us out for dinner. Which dinner was basically a bologna steak, but it's just a big, thick piece of bologna.
Yeah,
some fucking some bread, some fucking wilted lettuce, and a cookie, and a couple of Kool-Aid. So basically, I just had the cookie and the Kool-Aid, and basically everyone else almost got into a brawl over my bologna.
Oh, God. Should just eat it?
So the guards actually got pissed off at me for fucking, like, giving it away, because then people start arguing over, like, you know, let me have half or this or that.
Oh, God.
So I go back to the room, sit there for, like, another, like, so long, and then they finally call me for my bail thing, and then I got to get processed out, which takes, like, in almost another couple hours. So, yeah, I was almost in there for, like, almost a whole day, and it fucking sucked, man.
So then what happened? Did they just give you a fine or something, or what happened?
Yeah. Oh, well, you get released, and then I had to go to court, and then I ended up having to take, like, a little couple-week fucking, like, a drug education course And basically was on deferred probation for 6 months.
All right.
So that was it. I was supposed to take a drug test, but they never actually drug tested me. And,
well, that's good, because you would
have failed. Actually, I would quit for the time. I would, like, you know, I would quit for a month, and then after I would see the guy after not taking the test, I would smoke for, like, a few days and then go sober for, like, another month. And I had to do that for 6 months, and the motherfuckers never fucking tested me. Well, actually, it wasn't. I think I just did 3 months because it was deferred, and once I paid everything off, it was fine. So they gave me, like, community service, but they let me pay it off, so I had to donate, like, a couple hundred bucks to, like, some child advocacy center or something.
Right.
But,
and now, and you haven't touched weed since, right?
No, I'm stoned right now, shit. And but I actually got arrested a second time, like a couple years later, for pretty much the same fucking thing. But this time I was smart, and I was like, I called my parents and told them to fucking post bond, so that way, when you, like, if you're smart enough to do that, you just get processed in and you get processed out. You don't have to go upstairs. So I saved all that hassle. The next time.
That's much better. Yeah. Well.
And then like, they charged me, like, on, like, the fines and stuff, you know, they fined me so much and gave me immunity, but, of course, they let me pay that. And then, like, they charge you for, like, I was supposed to get drug tests every month. So I got charged for, like, it's not a lot, but I got charged for, like, 6 drug tests, which I never took one.
Oh, okay. They charge you for them, even though, all right.
And the way not to have to do a drug test is to show up, dress nice, have your fucking ID, have your work stuff, and have something else in your hand ready to go, and you'll be in probation office for like 10 minutes, and you won't ever have to take a drug test, because, you know, that if you make their job easy, they're going to make your life easy. So, you know, if you go up
you
doing like
down
a job
there,
and acting like an asshole
saying.
And don't take your shit you need, you can expect to be, you know, that be there forever and to get drug tested and all that shit.
Right. Well, yeah, so if you just act like you're ready to go and you got a job to be at and you're a professional, then they'll just say, hey, get the fuck out of here, man. We don't have time for you.
Yeah, they got your money, so, you know.
Right.
Why do more paperwork? Why have one dude take more of your time than necessary?
Yeah, well, isn't marijuana is a pretty big deal in Texas, isn't it?
It's, I think they've changed it. It's not as bad, because you used to be able to get arrested if you had a joint on you, because basically that's what I got arrested for.
Mm.
But I think you can have, like, a little amount now and just get a ticket.
Oh, well, that's
but
much better. Man, it's so dumb.
Well, it shouldn't even be that. It should be fucking legal. I mean, shit, man.
Yeah. And this, I don't know if it's going to change, man. I don't know if it's going to change at all. You know, I was hoping some of this Occupy shit would help people, you know, maybe they would start throwing the people some bones and be like, hey, all right, we're going to decriminalize marijuana, and, you know, if you guys back off, but nothing's happened, so.
I don't even need for them to decriminalize it. I just need to make it legal for medical marijuana in Texas, so then I can go and complain about my glaucoma that I'm going to get in a couple years, and I want to prevent it. And
it doesn't prevent glaucoma.
Yes, it does, dude. I'm positive it does. And then I can go to the marijuana vending machine and put in my card and get my fucking awesome marijuana off of a Coke machine.
Why don't you just move to Colorado or California?
I like where I'm at right now.
All right, fair enough.
And
yeah,
it's not like I'm not smoking anyway. I mean, shit, it'd just be illegal for me that way.
That's true. That's, yeah, you know, it's not stopping anybody, so. Anyway.
All right.
Hey, so let's talk a little UFC. Did you see the show last weekend?
Yeah, the show was pretty badass. It was,
dude,
that was
the best shit I've ever seen. That was I don't get the pay per views here. I got to go to a bar and watch them on Sunday mornings. And so my wife and I, we went down to Fridays. That's where they show it. And there was only like 3 or 4 people that were watching it, dude. But that was one of the best shows I've ever seen all time of my life. That, and it made it a lot better since I bet on all the fights, but my God, the Dan Henderson Shogun Hua match was just incredible. What'd you think?
Yeah, that was awesome, and I'm glad Dan won because I had enough money on Kung Lee. That fucking bastard had to show up all bad and out of shape. But, yeah, that was a badass fight, and the guy that I bet, he's all at work the next day. He's all, come on, man, come on. You know he lost. I said, bullshit. He won 3 rounds. He won 1 round, at least fucking 10-8. It's fucking, you know.
You bet Dan, right?
Yeah.
You bet Dan. Yeah, so what, I bet Dan, too, and so the scoring is a little bit skewed, but, I don't know if I would, under the 10-point must system, I think I would give Dan a 10-8 third round and then Shogun a 10-8 fifth round. And so, you know.
Dan still wins by a point.
Yep.
Yeah. That's how I had it. I mean, it was, Shogun, clearly won the last two, but, Dan clearly won the first three, it's not five rules, so,
Right.
It was a fair decision. There's no controversy on that fight at all.
No, I agree. I would have been upset with the draw because I bet on it, but you couldn't really argue a draw.
Yeah.
What about a rematch? Would you like to see that again?
Yeah, but the thing is, if it's a 5-round fight, you never know what will happen. But if it's a 3-round, I'm pretty sure Dan will take it, handily, actually.
Well, maybe, knows?
The only reason Shogun really won those last two rounds is because Dan was dead. He just didn't give up.
Yeah, he didn't give up. He just knew he had to survive because he'd already won three. So.
And he's a tough fucker because when he was, mounted and, trying to stand up, he was taking some shots,
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He just took them, no-sold them. You know they were hurting him, but he just, no-solding them and, stayed alive and just lasted that last round. That's all he had to do.
Right.
Yeah, that was a pretty goddamn good fight.
I actually rewatched it last night, and it was, I went back and watched, every round. And the fifth round, everyone's scored 10-8, 10-8. But Shogun, he had him mounted, and he was beating on him, but he wasn't killing him with shots, and Dan was surviving. I thought where Shogun really fucked up is he should have gone for a submission finish. Dan was just primed, giving him that arm bar. And to me, unless you get close to finishing a fight, where it's one of those questions of people are going, jump in, stop it. If you don't get to that point, you don't get a 10-8. And there was never that point in the fifth round where Shogun was pounding. He'd hit him and he'd rest, and he hit him and he'd rest, and he was laying on him the whole time. But he never got close to a finish.
Yeah. And then Dan fucked up because Dan was a second away from winning the fight because he was kind of he didn't have him mounted, but he had him down, he was pummeling him, and the referee was on the verge. He was going to stop the fight right there, but Dan stopped, switched positions, and at that point he was kind of gassed, and he paused long enough to where the ref, kind of held back, and then, the shots that he started throwing weren't as where the other ones were, but the referee was almost in the process of stopping the fight, but Dan switched positions.
Right, and that's when Shogun got that attempt at a heel hook or an ankle lock. That's when they sort of went to that position, and that sort of killed the momentum. That was in the third, and that was, if Dan would have just pushed through it and maybe landed one or two more crisp shots, that would have been it.
He just had to do two more of those hammer fists to that one spot and not pause and move. If he would just one or two more, it was over. You could see the ref. He was like, fight back. You could see he was about to stop it. Dan moved out like, oh, shit.
What did you think about the Kung Lee stoppage?
The stoppage or the fight?
I
didn't think anything was wrong with the stoppage. I mean, Benedict fucking jumped on him like a motherfucker, but as soon as I saw how fat he was, I knew I was going to lose by 5 bucks.
Oh, man. Yeah. I see... I always make the mistake of I make my bets, and you just bet with a buddy, right?
Yeah.
See, I have an online account that I use to gamble, and so I bet a parlay. I bet on that Dan and Silva would win, and I bet $100 to win $300, and I wish I would have seen that weigh-in, because Silva looked way better, and I wasn't very confident. I was like, shit, I don't know what I'm going to do. But as soon as I saw Kung Lee with his shirt off, I was like, oh, fuck, this dude is going to be a gas bag. And I was like, if Silva can weather the storm, he's going to survive. And he did. And that's exactly what happened. But, man.
He almost got knocked out, but he survived.
Oh, my God.
And
he just got dropped.
I think that night, he saw how fat he was at the wins. That was the game plan, because – you notice he just waited and waited, took the shots, and at the end of each round, he exploded on him. But the last one, he was like just, he was throwing those kicks, but they're a lot slower, and, you know, Vanderlei just jumped on him kind of like the old days, and just throwing a bunch of knees. I mean, he looked like the old Vanderlei for once.
Yeah, he did. He looked like he was, the axe murderer. And, you know, the thing about throwing those crazy spinning kicks is they're a low-percentage shot, and they also take a ton out of you. You got to use so much force to drive your legs and make them go that fast. And you know, he was, like you said, you could see the kick slowing down. But at the end of the second round, or when it was coming to the end of the second round, and he dropped them, and as soon as he stopped the fight, Rogan goes, that was a bad stoppage. And I was like, well,
maybe. I think it was a bad stoppage because wasn't it like a couple seconds away from being over the round?
Yeah, it was like 4 or 5 seconds away from being over. But you could see he was done.
He was done.
He was done. Yeah. And that's the thing I think that people, when they look at fights and they think stops, you know, fights are stopped early, it's like, yeah, Silva could have cracked him a couple more times. And maybe he could have got all around, but it was just a matter of time before he was going to get KO'd legit. And so that was a good stoppage, I think. And, you know, even though I'm biased because I had money on it, I wouldn't argue the other way.
Yeah.
But that was a sick, sick fight. That was so fun to watch. And then Faber comes out and looks like a fucking machine, man. He looked like just a human wrecking ball.
Yeah, dude. I mean, Faber looks awesome when he's not fighting the world champion.
Well, you know, but you listen to the Brian and Todd show, I'm sure, right?
Well, I agree on that. I think he should get the title shot because he actually is the best one that's not the champion, and he is the one that's going to make the most money. So I got no problem with him getting the title shot.
I agree with you, man. He's the only guy that's going to be a draw. He's deserving of it. It's the rubber match split, you know. And
I kind of thought, you know, he was more competitive in that match than people give him credit for. I mean, I almost had it a draw.
He survived 5 fucking rounds with Dominic Cruz, you know?
Yeah.
And he didn't get finished, and he didn't get close to getting finished. He was competitive in every one of those rounds, and he broke both of his fucking hands.
Yeah.
So, and you know, what was the string of losses? It was like he lost to Mike Brown. Right.
He lost to Mike Brown twice. He lost to Aldo, and then he lost to Dominic.
I guess the Aldo fight I didn't see. The Aldo fight was the 145, right? Then he dropped to 135.
The Aldo fight was the I forgot what weight it is. The one right under shit, dude. I don't even know what it is, honestly.
Aldo's heavier than Cruz, though, right?
I'm sorry, I lost my fucking headset for a second. Yeah, he's heavier than Cruz.
Okay. So he lost at 145 and then decided to come down to 135, and then he lost to Cruz. Or when did he beat Cruz? He must have beat Cruz a while ago then.
Yeah, it was like a long time ago. It was one of like Cruz's early fights.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you know, I don't know if he can beat him, but, you know, the name of the game is for UFC is make money, not be fair. And that was Todd's argument, was like, oh, you know, it's not fair. Fuck being fair. What rules of fairness are we following here? We're following the rules of make money, you know? There's been a lot of things that are unfair.
Well, like, man, it is fair because he, okay, to get the, like, I think to get the Aldo fight, he had to beat, or the first, He beat Mazzagatti, who was like the guy who gave Torres like his best fight. And then He just beat Brian Bowles. I mean, he's beating the former champion, you know, the guy who Dominik beat. So it's not like he's not beating anyone. He's beating the guys he has to beat.
Right. No, I think he's deserving. I really do think he's deserving of the next title shot. And I do think it's fair. And, you know, really, the other guys Todd was arguing, you know, Hanau Barão, you know, he's only had one UFC fight, two now. And Miguel Torres, who has looked like shit ever since he joined GSP's camp, quite frankly. Ever since he moved to Canada and started training GSP style, he's not that crazy fucking Mexican killer like he used to be. So.
He's not that killer. He's kind of had boring fights, but and then he's like 3-4, and the one that he did lose to, he lost to.
He lost to Demetrius Johnson.
I'm sorry, I got a text and it kind of threw my mind. He lost to the last guy that Dominik beat. I forgot his name, the little guy. He beat him in Vegas. The fight was in Vegas, and I had Miguel winning that fight.
Yeah. That was the fight we were at in May. We were both there. I had Miguel winning that fight too, but it wasn't a great fight, and it wouldn't have mattered either way. But yeah, but regardless, I don't think he earned himself a title shot. You know, you look at guys who you want to give a title shot to, and you want to give guys a title shot who are going to have exciting fights, who are going to fucking go for finishes, you know. And Torres has just decided that he's going to fight to win, and that's. You know, that's not what Dana wants to see. And unfortunately, that's the name of the game is exciting fights.
Yeah. So, yeah, and it's going to make the most money. And, I mean, that's one thing about Ryan's fight. Like, even though he got dominated in the Aldo fight, it was like, still exciting because it was like watching, like, a little Ricky Morton. It was watching Ricky Morton do an MMA match.
Yeah. He fucking pounced on him in that second round, just decided, hey, I'm better than this guy. It's time to end it. Here we go.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, that was a pretty awesome show. What did you think of Survivor Series, or did you watch Survivor Series?
I didn't get a chance to watch. See, the WWE pay-per-views play on Monday morning at, like, you know, 10 a.m. or 11 a.m., and so I'm always working, and so I won't ever get to see them. But I did go back last night, and I watched... I watched highlights of the show, and I watched just the main event. And, fuck, man, The Rock looked awesome. That's all I can say about the show. The rest of the show was a regular fucking average show, but The Rock was awesome. And, you know, if I had the capabilities of buying pay-per-views, I would have done it. But did you buy it?
I didn't buy it, but I watched it.
Excuse me. Did you steal it?
Something like that. But, yeah, it's like Dave and Brian talked about how the Miz and R-Truth went to the movie set to work with The Rock. I guess it's safe to say that they sent Ricky Steamboat down there with him as the agent.
Because he did 25 arm drags?
Yeah. I posted on Facebook, I go, The Rock still got it. And the first response was like, shit, he's got more than when he left.
Yeah, man, he looked really good. But, you know, remember, the Rock used to do arm drags a lot. That used to be his thing. I mean, he used to do – that was one of his five moves, was the arm drag. You know, it doesn't surprise me at all. And he's a fucking incredible athlete, and he looked shredded. He looked like he was dieted down real good and, you know, not gassed up like usual. And, fuck, man, I would love to see The Rock every week on TV because he certainly – a far bigger star than anybody else they got.
Yeah. Now, speaking of, like, looking all cut up and huge and stuff, you're the fitness expert. Does Cody look more jacked up because he's wearing knee pads, or is he jacked up for other reasons?
it's very little to do with the knee pads, I would say. But, you know, I don't know.
So it was funny because usually when I watch Cody Rhodes, the first thing that comes into my head is he looks like a faggot. He looks like a faggot with no knee pads. He looks so fucking gay. It's like, God, put some fucking knee pads on. And I watched the pay-per-view, and that thought never entered my mind, but I never snapped to it. And then Contreras was like, you notice he had knee pads on. And I was like, well, shit, no wonder I didn't think he looked gay. He had fucking knee pads on. That's what it is.
And I, you know, there is something to that. I told you, you know, I've done pro wrestling and MMA, and in pro wrestling,
well, you look fucking gay no matter knee pads or no knee pads. You just, you're gay, so you look gay. I mean, just
all
how
right,
it is.
Well, the cock in my mouth doesn't help, I understand. But I'm saying, when I would do pro wrestling, I'd had shoes and knee pads on, and when I did MMA, I didn't have either. And I would notice in MMA, it was like my legs looked way lankier, and with the pads on, you look more thicker. But I do not think that that is the reason Cody Rhodes looks. Dave always says, "Oh, look at the new body," or you know, whatever it is. Fuck, man, you don't get a new body overnight. Like, it's just now that you just happen to notice it. I bet you go back, you know, 4 to 6 weeks, and you look at Cody. I bet he was looking good, and all of a sudden, you know, somebody points it out, and you're like, oh, shit. I think
they just have better gyms in England, because that's where he got all jacked up at.
Well, you know, who knows? You know, are you implying that maybe he obtained some illegal substances in Europe?
Possibly. I don't know.
Well,
is human growth cheaper in Europe than in America?
Okay, well, let me tell you how growth works. You got to do growth for 6 months before you notice a result. Cheaper or not, they were only in Europe for a week or maybe 10 days. I don't care how much test you go over there and shoot or how much DECA or whatever steroids you get your hands on, even if you can get your hands on them. You know, first you can get them over here. But, yeah, if you went over there, you're only there for 10 days. You know, he's not fucking – I don't think he looks that much different. I think it was just now pointed out to us, and maybe he's a little bit more tan, and maybe he is a little bit more cut. But I don't think it has any – you know, I don't know Cody Rhodes at all. Fuck, man, I'm not going to accuse the dude of doing steroids, but he looks good. So
– yeah, I mean, he's looking better. I mean, he really – I mean – It's an improvement.
I would just bet that if you went back, let's just say you took 10 timeline photos of Cody Rhodes over the last 10 weeks, I bet you would see that the progression he's making, and it's not just a 1 week change. I bet he's just doing some things differently, and you're just starting to notice it. So maybe he's doing growth. Fuck, I don't know.
I was talking to this one friend of mine who's like kind of like a personal trainer. I mean, he only has like a couple people, but he was telling me, because I was telling him I was thinking about getting a membership to the gym where he's at, and he's like, yeah, man, well, like, he's like, I had told him, like, Vegas was in 6 months. He's like, yeah, we'll work out, we'll get you going for like 3 months, and after 3 months we'll get you some Winstrol, yeah, Winstrol. He's like, we'll get you some Winstrol after 3 months, and we'll you'll really notice it by the time you get to Vegas. I was like, okay.
Fuck, dude, you are nowhere near needing the Winstrol at this point. I think it would be hilarious if from this point on, like, Ed, you just, like, said, fuck smoking weed, I'm just going to start doing a ton of steroids, I'm just going to get gassed up as shit, and then in Vegas you show up and you're just, like, 280 pounds just shredded. That would be fucking awesome. That would be the coolest thing ever.
I don't want to be that. I'd rather be like 220 and shredded. That'd be awesome.
Well, you got a long way to go to 220, and I think, you know, 270 is a more realistic walk around. What's your weight? 3?
Right now, because I had gained most of the weight, I had fucking lost right before Vegas. Just can't stop for the fast food, but I'm down to like 302, so I've lost about 14 or 16 pounds.
The Winstrol guys use Winstrol to like sort of maintain their muscle mass as they diet down. It's sort of like a hardening agent. It keeps you sort of like it keeps your strength up while you as you reduce calories. So yeah, that's not what I would put you on.
Well, what would you put me on? Is there a steroid that's like helps you actually lose weight?
Yeah, there's tons. But that's not where you need to do, man. I wouldn't put you on steroids.
Too bad weed doesn't help you lose weight. I'd fucking be skinny as shit.
If you can afford it, the best steroid to get is growth. I mean, and it's not a steroid. It's a different sort of hormone. But, yeah, the most effective, safest hormone you can get is growth. If I were you, I would do Sustanon 250. That's what you – and if you did that with some Winstrol, then you'd probably drop, you know, 50 pounds and keep all your muscle mass.
Yeah.
But you know, you got to be willing to inject, and you got to be willing to eat correctly, and you got to be willing to lift weights. So,
yeah,
it's not just one thing. You know, it's like people are like, oh, you know, you started doing steroids and you got fucking. Well, guess what? He's also working his ass off in the gym. He's also eating 4,000 calories a day of clean food, and you know, he's doing everything right. Steroids are only as good as the rest of your program. So.
Yeah, it's like Dave mentioned the other day, Johnny Grunge. Who would have ever thought Johnny Grunge was on fucking steroids? I mean, the dude had to wear a shirt to the ring because he was so flabby and out of shape.
Yeah, you know, and all those guys who got popped on the, you know, that lift way back in the day, and everyone was like, Funaki? Funaki's on the gas? Well, you remember that?
Yeah.
Funaki? Well, one,
everyone's like, he can't be on the gas. He has to be the mule that's buying it for everybody else.
That could be. But, you know,
right?
Two, you got to start somewhere.
So long.
Yeah, they're just, Funaki, get a bunch of ampules of a test and put them up your butt and bring them over the border for us.
So. That's crazy. Did my friend make contact with you?
Yes, I have emailed her back, and we I sent her information, and I got the information from you, and I'm working an angle for you, buddy. I'm working an angle for you. I'm hooking it up.
Okay, great. Because I'm glad you said that, because she's probably listening to the show tonight.
Oh, she is. All right. Yeah.
But. I don't actually think she even really needs to lose weight. I mean, she's one of the very more attractive women on my Facebook friends list. I mean,
well, that's not that much. She's probably the only woman on your Facebook friend list.
I have over 750 friends, my friend.
Yeah, and how many of those are real, actual women and not just bots?
I don't know, 10, 12. No,
right,
I have a bunch because I have a bunch of old high school friends, and she's only like, I think when I graduated she was a sophomore, so she's either like 3 years younger than me, 2 or 3 years younger than me. So she looks very, very attractive for her age. I'll say that.
Was that you sent me an email with a photo underneath? Was that her?
Yeah.
She's like at a fountain or something.
Something like that. Yeah, I think so.
Oh.
And
laying on a cement thing. I thought it was in front of a fountain, but yeah. Okay. Yeah,
yeah
man. I think she looks great. And you know, but like all women, they all want to, you know, to do a little bit better. And so, you know, I can understand that. And you know, just it's a matter of tightening up your diet, tightening up your training, and getting a program that works for you, and not just something that you just make up or that you pull from a magazine or you know. Yeah, if someone's not consciously thinking about you and your situation, then you're just sort of, you know, it'd be like just going to the store and being like, give me some generic medicine. I'm sick. It's like, well, what the fuck sickness do you have, you know? So we'll get her straightened out.
We're actually going to start running together next week. So that should be pretty cool.
By running, does that mean you drive your car behind her as she runs? Because you can't run.
I can run a little bit. Oh, that said, I thought I fucking crippled myself last week.
Are you really running, or are you just walking?
I explained this last week, is like, okay, I live next to my high school and my middle school. It's kind of like a circle, and if I walk, if I leave my house to the right, it's a mile and a half circle till I come back the other side. So I'll walk like part of that, and then that's right where the track is at the high school. So I'll go to the track, and usually what I'll do is like after work I'll walk over there, and then I'll get on the track, and I'll do like about a mile and a half. But what I do is, since you know, I'm too heavy for my knees to be running too much. So what I'll do is I run the straightaways and walk the turn.
That's great.
I'll do like a mile and a half, and then I'll walk the rest of the way home. So it's like a total of 3 miles. But Saturday, I wasn't like tired from, you know, I just decided to go. I usually don't do it on Saturday, so I wasn't tired because I wasn't really working. So I was like, fuck it. So I started doing it, and I did about 4 miles like that. And I always sprint the last 100. So after the fourth mile of the last 100, I decided to sprint, and like just a little bit over halfway, I felt something snap. And I actually hurt something. So I was like, oh, I just fucking, like, in my head, the first thing is just like, oh, fuck, I am fucked, dude. So I fucking lift off to the side and kind of like set, like, nails against this thing. And I was like, fuck, because it hurt. And it's like I felt it, and it's like I hurt it. It was weird. And I didn't take my, I walked there, so I still had to walk home. And it's kind of like early in the morning, so I'm like, who the fuck am I going to call? So I was able to put weight on it, and then I was able to walk. So I walked home, but I was hurting. So I got here, I iced it, and took about 2 Flexerols and a bunch of fucking ibuprofen. And it fucking hurt that day, but then the next day it was just slightly tight. And by Monday, I did go to the doctor's, but by Monday it was just like, just slightly tight, just in that one little spot. And, like, I feel fine now. But at the moment, dude, I thought fucking I'd pulled a Vince McMahon or a Triple H and had a muscle hanging in the back of my thigh or something, you know?
Where was it? Was it on your hamstring, like the back of your leg, or like on your knee?
It was in the back of my leg in the middle of my thigh. So I'm pretty sure it was a hamstring.
Yeah. Well, you know, the good thing about that is it's probably just had a muscle and just tighten up, and you just had a little bit of a spasm because you overdid it, and it wasn't your knee, so you probably didn't tear anything.
Yeah, that's what I'm assuming it was. Like I say, I mean, by the second day, I mean, it was just slightly tight right there, but at that moment, you know, the way it felt and the way, I say, it's like I hurt it, I mean, I thought it was going to be dangling. Dude, I was like, fuck.
Well, if your hamstring tears off your knee and rolls up into the back of your ass, yeah, you're not going to limp home, dude. You'll be down, and it'll be black for a long time.
Yeah, so, yeah, thankfully that didn't, you know, that hurt too bad. So I took a few days off, and then, of course, that was right before the holidays, so I'm being cool, and then Monday I'm getting back to work.
All right, well, I would say, you know, ease back into it, and then no more sprinting.
Yeah, especially like I said, I usually do like a mile and a half, and this time I did 4, so I've done like 3 times as much, you know.
Yeah, you know, that's how injuries happen. People, they get feeling good, and they're like going to start pushing themselves, and just that one time you push a little too hard, fuck, that's when shit goes down. So, you know, not that you shouldn't push yourself, you should, but, you know, you just be careful.
Yeah, but as far as like the food, I've done pretty good. I've actually, for the most part, stayed away from any fast food at all. So,
how'd you do on Thanksgiving? Did you just fucking go crazy?
I had a big ass plate, but I mean, it's not like I've gone super crazy.
Yeah. You know, everyone's like, oh, Thanksgiving, I get so. I'm like, well, if you're eating Thanksgiving, you're really eating, like, some good food. You're eating some, you know, good, clean turkey, some fucking sweet potatoes and shit. You know, if you have 10 pieces of pie, that's obviously not great. But, you know, broccoli casserole and green bean casserole, and, you know, that's just good food, man. That's quality. So, you know, everybody
gets all freaked out. Yeah, but is the green bean casserole really that good when it's got, like, cream of mushroom and then those fried onions on top? And
for what it could be, it's better than a cheeseburger, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and then I don't do no sweet potatoes. It's mashed, you know, regular mashed potatoes and nothing. And then we had 2 kinds of stuffing, so I'm sure that wasn't the best.
Well, you know, the worst case scenario is once a goddamn year, and you spend it with your family, and who wants to be sitting there going, I can't have this or I can't have that, you know? So as long as you just keep it to one plateful, and, you know, I'm sure you're fine, brother. Are you going to join that gym?
Yeah, I'm going to. I've just been kind of broke the last couple. I've actually been kind of broke since fucking Vegas, but hopefully I'm I'm all right. It's just I really haven't. I've actually. It's kind of part of not eating any fast food is I haven't had any money. So.
Right.
That kind of helped. But
you never see that humble.
I've gotten away from it enough to where I think I'm pretty sure I can stay away from it. But hopefully I'll be joining that gym by sometime in December. And get going. What kind of sucks for me is like, okay, I got Thanksgiving this week, and then I got my birthday coming up real close, and then I got Christmas, and then New Year's. So there's always like, you know, parties or shit where there's not, you know, where there's going to be a lot of temptation and shit right there. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
it'll be a tough month.
It's everybody has that temptation, yeah. And you know, there's some things you can do to avoid it, but the bottom line is if you keep it to moderation and you don't, you know, just eat like shit the entire month, a couple meals here and there ain't going to kill you. You'll be all right.
Yeah, so. Yeah, hopefully. That the original goal, which wasn't actually my goal, was the goal I was told that was my goal. My goal was to lose 100 pounds by Vegas, but I'm pretty sure that's not going to happen. But I'm hoping I can get down to anything. If I could get under 270, I'd be, like, ecstatic. But
that would be awesome. Yeah, that's a good goal. It's about what Vegas is like 6 months from now, 6-7 months. So, see, you're 330 then. Yeah, that's doable, man. I would say that's doable under 270. So shoot for that. Who told you to lose 100 pounds?
Oh, my friend was.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Well, so. you're going to have to cut off a leg or something for that to happen.
Yeah. Well, I actually went back and looked at and found some of my old high school football pictures where I weighed like around 220, and one of them I was even under 200, and that'd be awesome to get to there.
You were 16 years old or something, right?
Yeah. Well, that's true, but it'd be awesome if I could get down to there again. But
I don't know. If you got the gastric bypass and shit, that might help, but, you know. So I'm looking at the poll here on the F4W site, and it's the Black Friday poll. And I'm looking at the second question down, who was the biggest all-around star of 2011? And I'm going through this list, and I'm like, who the fuck do I consider, you know, John Cena, CM Punk, Hogan, Orton, The Rock, Lesnar, Pacquiao, Mayweather, GSP, and Anderson Silva? Okay. So you're like thinking biggest all-around star. Throughout WWE, they're not fucking all-around stars. So it's not Cena, Punk, Hogan, Orton. And so now you're left with The Rock, who's a movie star, Lesnar, Pacquiao and Mayweather are boxers, and GSP and Silva. How many times did GSP fight last year?
Just a couple, and they were got off of the most boring fights ever.
He fought Shields, and he beat Shields. And who else did he fought? Koscheck?
Koscheck and...
Shields,
I think that was the fight before Shields.
Yeah,
he's so goddamn boring, dude.
Right, and then Silva, how many times did he fight last year?
A couple, and then he got his ass kicked for almost all of one until the very end, fucking bastard.
Yeah, he beat Sonnen, and then he beat Belfort, right?
Yeah.
He fought twice. Mayweather, he fought twice at the most. And then Pacquiao fought twice. And then Lesnar fought once. Hell, he hasn't fought at all in 2011. He's had zero.
Well,
The
Rock basically had one match and then the good thing in WrestleMania. That's by far it's The Rock, dude.
Right,
The Rock
the one
actually made the biggest
That's
difference as far as money.
That's my point, is The Rock is the biggest all-around star, by far.
Yeah.
He has to be.
Yeah.
Because you can't count any of these other guys. So, yeah, it's just sort of a sad state of affairs where your biggest star isn't even in the business. You know what I'm saying? Like, I bet you I could ask, you know, I teach at a high school. I could ask 100 high school kids, you know, who John Cena is, and, you know, 50% of them would go, oh, he's that wrestler guy or whatever, and, you know, hardly any of them would know who CM Punk is, and They all might know Hulk Hogan. They all might know who Randy Orton is. And, you know, over here they know who Pacquiao is because there's tons of Filipinos. So they might think Pacquiao is the biggest star over here. But they wouldn't know who – even the guys who I fight with, they know who GSP and Silva is. But they're not – they don't – I don't know if, you know, I don't know if they consider them big stars. I think The Rock is the guy everyone would know off this list. So the problem – I guess what I'm getting to is WWE has not made any fucking stars.
Yeah, well, I mean, Cena's a star, but it's just, that's it. It's Cena and then everyone else, you know.
I mean, is he a star?
I think he sells enough money to be a star.
Yeah, I mean, on the rest of that list, I mean, is he a bigger star than Hulk Hogan? No.
Yeah, probably not, well, because Hogan's been around for way much longer, that's why.
Right. But I'm saying you ask your mom. Who do you know more, Cena or Hulk Hogan?
Hulk Hogan, of course.
Would your mom know who Brock was?
Who's getting raped by his ex-wife?
Oh my God, that's so sad. That's so depressing. But you know,
70 fucking 30, dude. 70 fucking 30. That's fucking, and it's. Is that like he was a good wife? Is that like she took the clean for him?
He
never did
like
a goddamn thing in her life.
He must have like 10 dead hookers in the trunks of his cars that he's been hiding or something. Because
she must have videotape of that. You know how she told that story about him and Breeder's Big Chick being the fucking butt-fuck buddy? She must have like video of that or something.
Who? Hulk Hogan and who?
Brutus Beefcake. She did an interview where she said that him and Beefcake were like fucking lovers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. And so you think she's got video of Hogan taking it from Beefcake?
Something like that. I mean, it's one thing to want to get something over with, but 70-30, that should tell you something.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
And it's not like he's got $100 million to split up. He's, you know, he's down to his final million.
Yeah. Like, the Graciano's barely got hardly anything, really. I mean, because he had to give it all to her.
Well, you know what? Fuck the Graciano.
I would have preferred to have given it to the Graciano's than to fucking her.
I agree with you, but I don't think the Graciano's should get shit. I fucking feel like that they're just trying to rape Hulk Hogan too. Like they're not special. Yeah, Nick and him got into a goddamn accident. Not Hulk's fault. I feel like
Hulk's the one that bought him the beer, dude.
Who gives a shit? You know how many fucking it was his choice to drive with Nick.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. I feel like those sort of cases where it's like, oh, my son's dead. It's like, you know how many bad decisions every single person's made, and just one bad decision, you know, resulted in a vegetative state. I'm very sorry, and Hulk, you know, he's paying for the medical bills, but he shouldn't get his money stolen from him, you know, more so. But I guess if you're looking at it, Linda versus the kid who's in the vegetable, yeah, I'd like the kid in the vegetable to get the money. And Linda hasn't done dick. It's not like it's like, hey, we both started Hulk Hogan Enterprises, and I did more of the work as the CEO, and you were just the face. It's like, hey, I'm Hulk Hogan, and I made $100 million, and I am the fucking greedy bitch wife who yelled at you all the time.
Yep. At least they had a hot daughter who stars in some horrible movie. Did you see the preview to the movie she's in? Sand Shark?
I had no idea she was in a movie. What movie are you talking about?
It's a movie called Sand Sharks where there's like, it's like kind of like Jaws where like, you know, the beach is threatened, but this shark is out in the water out getting the people. He's actually moving through the sand like a mole and popping out of the sand and grabbing people. And she has like some lines and she's like horrible in it, but you know, at least she looks hot.
Sand Shark. I'm looking for it. It's a movie? It's not out yet though.
It's shit. Brian had it on the front page one time a week ago.
I didn't see it.
I'm
definitely seeing this movie. I don't think she's that hot. You think she's that hot? I think she looks like fucking her. She looks like a younger version of her mom, and I think her mom looks like a stupid dumb blonde. You know, they look like fucking girl versions of Hulk Hogan. I think they both look kind of gross.
The mom kind of does. She kind of does look like.
It's like the mom version
of Hulk Hogan.
It's like, fuck, I don't want to look at Hulk Hogan masturbating, you know, more so.
There's a photo where he's putting suntan lotion on Brooke, and it looks like he's got his fucking fingers up for ass and fucking snatch, dude.
Yeah, I saw that. That was really funny, too.
Yeah. Like, oh, my God. My favorite, though, is the one episode where they're having, like, a party, and it's all the old-timers, you know, Hacksaw's there, the Nasty
Boys,
Dire Sheik, and Ming picks her up and is copying a feel in front of everybody, but, of course, it's Ming, so no one's seeing shit.
Yeah, and they throw her in the pool or something.
Yeah, dude, he's got a hand full of breastises. He's throwing her around the pool, and everyone's all like nothing, you know. Of course, I wouldn't tell Ming or Haku anything myself, you know. He'll take off his flip-flop and poke your eye out with his big toe.
Oh, man. They should do that as one of the WWE programs. They should do all those clowns in, like, a big house. Or were they going to do that?
Well, that's what were we talking about, that celebrity rehab one day or something?
Oh, yeah. We were talking about doing celebrity rehab with WWE Celebrity Rehab as one of the shows on the WWE Network.
It doesn't even have to be rehab. You could just take all those old fools like the Nasty Boys and Jim Duggan and the Iron Sheik and
I don't want to see him rehabbed. I want to see him drunk and fucked up on pills.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. That'd be their best. That'd be fucking. That'd get more views than WrestleMania.
Yeah. I want to see Not yeah. Who am I thinking of? Who, you know, the Jim the Anvil? Not Jim the Anvil. Who was? I guess he'd be a good one to put in the house. Who else? Who's fucked up in the news?
Well, of course, the Iron Sheik's the first pick.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Roddy Piper would be a great one.
Jimmy Snuka.
Oh, is he a drug man?
Pretty much.
What's Duke the Dumpster Drosy doing? He's probably not doing much. Put him in there.
He could get China a job. I hope she's looking for a job.
Oh, China would just get fucking double penetration, like on day one. Just be fucking taking 15 cocks in her.
Her new story is that fucking one night in China video she did with X-Pac is that X-Pac raped her. He was raping her during that video.
Oh, I never saw it. But if you put a video out of yourself having sex, I doubt it's rape.
Yeah. I don't even want to see that. I mean, it's like part of me is very curious about wanting to see it, but then the other part of me knows she has that little fucking clitoris penis. And I don't think I want to see that, dude. I saw a picture on the board one time of her goddamn clitoris looks like a little fucking penis. It's fucking the most disgusting thing I ever seen, dude. It's like she's a fucking hermaphrodite now.
I've seen that too. But do you remember like when China was in Playboy like all those years ago?
She actually was hot in the first one. I got it.
Yeah, she didn't have that. They must have airbrushed that out.
They must have. They must have.
Because no one saw that and was like, holy shit, look at her penis. They were all like, holy shit, she looks pretty good. But then now you're going back and you're going, wait, where was that penis? Because it didn't grow. It must have already been there.
I'm going to have to fucking find my goddamn Playboy. It's there somewhere.
I think she did a couple of them. I think she did like two
she
or three.
She did twice. The first one, she looked really good. There was a period when she was there, when she kind of like lost some of the mass, where she was looking very hot for a while. And then, you know, of course, Matt Hardy
surgery.
She was Matt Hardy before Matt Hardy, you know, and got all fucked up.
Well, she got a bunch of the facial reconstructive surgeries done. Like she had like her jaw shaved down, and she had like the lip injection shit. And she was looking all right for a while, but then she just became just like a blob of herself, man. I feel bad for her too, man, because she was all that shit happened because she was molested and beaten as a child, man.
She's all, she's, you know, she's not all there, dude, unfortunately. And I was a big fan of her back then, dude.
Yeah, back then I thought she was pretty cool. You know, she was the one big badass chick who was, you know, tough and, well, you know, it was different back then, you know. You think about wrestling in, you know, late 90s and you're like, fuck, how cool was that? And now you just got this fucking watered down garbage product that I haven't watched in a while, for real, because...
So you haven't seen the Twitter nonsense?
I've heard about it, man. I was back in the States in October, and I watched Vengeance pay-per-view, and I had some buddies over. And when they were just fucking yelling Twitter all the time, I was like, you know what? I can't watch this shit anymore, man. Like, it takes me out of the moment. You keep yelling at me to not watch wrestling. You're like, hey, don't look at the TV. Look at your iPad in front of you. You should type something about boots and asses. You should type something about, you know, it's like, hey, don't watch wrestling. Do this other thing. It's like our product is so uncool. It's just embarrassing.
Yeah, it's like, it used to be like the whole show would be awesome, and now it's like I'm looking for one thing to enjoy and make it a good show.
I mean, on the plus side, I've gotten a lot of Twitter jokes from, inside Twitter jokes for me and my buddies. I can just text them things that are trending on Twitter, you know, that kind of get the laugh. But it just takes you out of the program, and especially, you know, it'd be one thing if they just put the graphics up, but just having Michael Cole needs to fucking die. He needs to not be on both shows. He's
right.
So bad. And actually, I had it on the other night, or with the 3-hour show. I was that's the first time I watched in a while, was when The Rock came back, because I wanted to watch The Rock. And so I turned it on, and you know, I'm not really paying attention, and my wife's not really paying attention. But we get the Jim Ross Michael Cole angle, and my wife is just like, this is fucking embarrassing. This is horrible. I'm like, yeah, I know. I can't believe I'm even have this TV turned on. It makes you sad to be a wrestling fan when that's what they do. They do a Jim Ross dance, arm wrestling, and then they just fuck you with the weight thing. And it's like, dude, nobody wants to see Michael Cole. We want Jim Ross. So why are you punishing us? You know?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just because that's how they get their jollies. It's fucking pretty stupid. But I forgot, we had a question for you from the board.
For me?
Yeah, for you. It's from Robert. Or it's from Robert under his third name because he keeps getting banned.
How do you know it's Robert then?
Because it's fucking Robert, dude. It's not hard to tell.
Okay. Well,
he'll go a couple of weeks where he kind of plays the low key, and then he'll just go batshit crazy one day, and everyone knows there's Robert. But Robert wants to know if you have any remorse about what you did to Daisy Hayes, or what you've done, or what you caused Daisy Hayes to do to herself.
What did I do to her?
I turned her into a living skeleton, I guess.
Oh, I got you. I follow. Oh, there was someone wrote something about her, being like anorexic or something. She's totally fine. I don't know what people are freaking out about. Like, I was just hanging out with her in America, and she looks totally fine. She looks great. I don't know. I didn't see her for a while, so yeah, she's pretty dang.
In Atlanta, she looked really super, super skinny, dude. I mean, she's toned out, but it's like, I mean, I don't know. It's, to me, she looked too skinny. Like,
well, I know she was having some issues with some allergies, and she figured out she was allergic to gluten. She had a gluten intolerance, which is called celiacs, and so that was kind of making her sick for a while, and I think that's when people started jumping on her, because she did get kind of sick for like 6 months, and... Once she got that figured out, though, she's fine, though. She's fine. I talk to her all the time. And, no, I don't have any remorse. I didn't do anything wrong.
Well, you know, like I say, it was from Robert. You know,
Yeah, well, he's just trolling. Daisy and I are friends, man. We talk all the time. She's doing good. She's healthy. And she's getting better, too, you know. So, she did have a little bit of a digestive and nutritional issue. But once she figured that out, you know, we worked on some things, and I think she's doing much better.
Cool. So who do you got under the program right now? Is there any new people? I remember when we had I'm blanking on his name. The tall dude from ECW.
Lumber to who?
He's kind of the Grizzly Redwoods partner, dude.
Say it again. Who's partner?
The Grizzly Redwood.
Grizzly Redwood's partner.
Big guy with a big beard, and he's kind of like a lumberjack or hillbilly type. You said he was on the program, dude, so he got hurt.
I heard you talking about. Fuck. I was thinking of somebody else. Not Necro Butcher. Brody Lee.
Yeah, Brody Lee. Why can't I think of his fucking name?
Yeah, I couldn't think of it either, because every time I picture him, I picture Necro Butcher. I knew that's who you were talking about. Yeah. Brody Lee, he just started with me last summer, and he was doing real good, and then he fucked up his knee real bad. And he also had some other issues, some personal problems. I don't know if they're problems, but he just had some different things going on. But he's back. He was in Japan and doing really well. And when he gets some time, we're going to start back up again. But hey, he only worked with me for a couple months. New to the program though, nobody you'd know. I live in Guam, and it's hard for me to make as many connections when I'm on an island. And, you know, in Tampa, when I was living in Tampa, I talked to a lot more people. And so, you know.
When you do get the wrestlers on, are they like, okay, let's say someone gets on the program. Is it like a program just like for all, is it like a short-term thing, or is it something that they constantly stay on, or how does that work?
It depends. Alicia
Fox can only lose so much weight. You know what I mean?
I talk to her infrequently, actually. You know, she knows what she's doing, and I worked with her to get her set up, and then we did a sort of an overhaul, and, you know, now that she's cooking, you know, we don't talk that much. You know, we're friends, but we talk that way, but as far as, like, me changing what she does, you know, she's learned a lot, and she's adapted her program, and she knows what we've gone over and on the road, what she's supposed to do, and she just does her thing. And then when every once in a while when she needs, she's like, hey, you know, hey, my, I'd like to mix it up, you know, this way. I want a new lifting program. What do you think about this? And, you know, it's hard for them because they're on the road, and so they got limited access to shit. So, like, if someone starts with me, it'll be like, all right, we're going to overhaul you. We're going to start you over. And for the first couple months, it's real tight where, you know, they contact me every week or maybe even every day. I was like, all right, I need to do this. I need to do this. And I can give them constant feedback. But once they learn, it's sort of like, all right, you know, the mother bird kicking them out of the nest. It's like, all right, you're on your own now. Fly. So it's not like these people are constantly, I work with Harry, and it's not like I talk to Harry every day. Harry knows what he's doing, and when he needs some feedback, he talks to me. So I'm more of like a outside consultant.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's
like
cool.
Last week. What?
Oh, well, no, go ahead and say what you're going to say.
Oh, Tyson, he'll email me training questions every once in a while. I'll get a text. It'll be like, hey, man, I'm in the gym. I got these limited machines. This is the usual program. How could I adjust it to make it work today? And then we'll have a quick little text discussion. And then, you know, he'll take off. Like, all right, thanks, man. Or he'll be like, hey, I'm on the road. I got this decision to make. Should I eat this or this? And it's like, all right, eat this. We're trying to do this. So does that make sense? It's not like constantly. Yeah.
And what about like Roddy? Does he still have his little timer and his bag of almonds in his pocket?
Roddy learned you know, quickly that you have to be prepared. And when you if you go any place without your food, you're going to be fucked, and you're going to end up making bad decisions. So he just became one of the guys who always has his bag of almonds, always has his broccoli and shit like that. And Roddy is gone from, you know, one of the guys who I started with. You know, Roddy will tell you, he used to just be, you know, a high school athlete, just fucking, just eat as much as he could, you know, one of those guys. And once we got him squared away, he became, you know, a well-conditioned athlete. And he's, you know, gone on to become a personal trainer of his own. And he even works for a personal training company, and he sells supplements. But he doesn't need me, but, you know, we talk all the time because we're buddies, and that's, you know, we will talk about shit like that, but.
Oh, you know what? Let me throw the plug out real quick, and then that kind of reminds me of something. Okay. Yeah. Everyone check out AngryMarks.com. You can always download and stream our show at AngryMarks.com, along with a lot of other shows like the Angry Marks Show and quite a few other ones. So everyone check out AngryMarks.com. And speaking of Roddy, somehow, some way, he actually found a woman who was crazy enough to marry his ass, and I believe you were at the wedding. I'm sure you have to have some kind of tales from the wedding here.
Tales from the wedding. It was in St. Petersburg, Florida. He actually got married a day before my wife and I's anniversary a year ago. So that way, I'll never forget my anniversary because it's the same, pretty much the same day. But it was awesome. Dude, Jay Briscoe was the best man, and his speech was fucking phenomenal. He just cut a Briscoe's promo, and it was great. And Mark Briscoe was there, and Papa Briscoe was there, and all three Briscoe boys were fucking dancing it up. And it was hilarious to see, because Roddy's dad was there. You know, Papa Strong was also there, and we were pitching the idea Papa Strong versus Papa Briscoe in a wrestling match, because Papa Strong also used to wrestle. He was the one that got Roddy into independent wrestling, and Papa Strong is shredded, man. He just did a couple of bodybuilding shows. And
yeah, so Roddy posted a picture on Facebook. Yeah, his dad is shredded, dude.
Yeah, dude, he's awesome. Yeah, and he's also a great guy. And so we were like, oh man, you know, Delirious was there, you know. And we were pitching the idea to him.
Was he wearing a mask? Was he wearing a mask?
Of course not. That would have been great, though. No, he was not wearing the mask. But, he's like, oh, man, we should do, Roddy and his dad against the Briscoes and their dad. You know, that would be fucking awesome. So if that ever comes to fruition, that would be a phenomenal match and some great promos. Because Roddy's dad is also an Elvis impersonator. And he can sing, and he can play the guitar. Oh, absolutely. I've seen him perform. He's great. He's so good. Granny would fucking love him. And he's so charismatic, man. But the wedding was very fun. You know, nothing crazy. It was kind of surreal to see, you know, at one point, you know, me and a bunch of my buddies who used to just be a bunch of alcoholic assholes, you know, who just start fights and be cocksuckers, we're all dancing with our women like adults, you know, slow dancing on the floor, Roddy with his new wife and me with mine and the Briscoes with their girls, and we're all acting like adult human beings. And I'm like, what has happened to us? Just a few years ago, we were the crazy party machines that we would have trashed this place, you know? So it was just kind of funny to see all this kind of mellowed out.
So was Jay cussing like every other word during his speech? Like he does?
No, he kept it professional, but he did say, you know, lots of, you know, down doing them there, damn, you know, he cut it like he was in Delaware, so.
It's hard to believe that there's rednecks in Delaware, and then you see the Briscoes, and it's like, wow.
Yeah, I don't know what Delaware is about at all. You know, as far as I know, they have a fucking screen door factory, and that's about it. I've never been to Delaware, but apparently, you know.
Did you see the promo that they did last week?
No, man, I don't ever see the shows.
Brian had put it on the website. It's for it's fucking Jay's going crazy because apparently, you know how they're chicken farmers, chicken pluckers or whatever?
Yeah.
But they had to put down a fucking block of chicken and Jason's going crazy. 50 fucking grand. And then they're all pissed off. And the lady filming is like, hey, you can't cut. You're going to ruin the whole thing. And then Jay's like, who the hell are you talking to?
He starts
to take off, and Mark says something, and he yells at Mark, and then Mark pulls out a knife. And Mark's just like looking at him. Jay's out of the picture, but Mark's just standing there with his knife kind of looking at him. And then he puts it away. He's got him fired up, but, you know, I'm here. I'm professional. I'll stay here. So then they start throwing all these dead chickens off the truck.
No, I'll have to go back and look at that.
Oh, it's fucking awesome. They are the fucking the funniest things. And the thing is, they're funny, but in the same way, you take them serious because you know they fuck somebody up.
Oh yeah, dude. They take no shit. It was funny. The night before we had watched something about the Insane Clown Posse and the Juggalos, and so the next day, my wife and I were at the wedding, and Jay and Mark are dancing. And my wife didn't really understand what a juggalo was. And she looks at Jay and Mark, and they're dancing like just goofballs. And she looks at me, and she goes, are they juggalos? let me see. Maybe? Probably, yeah. We'll just go with yeah. So.
That's funny. But,
you know,
they
interact with their dad. You know how, like, you know, you see your buddy, and you're like, hey, buddy, what's up? And, you know, you slap their hand, and, you know, maybe give them, like, the half hug, you know, and you're like, yeah, you know, bump, fist bump. That's how they interact with their dad. Like, he's just, like, their older brother. And they're just like, oh, you know, punching him on the arm and being like, nah, dad, you fucking cocksucker, man. Oh, shit. We're all going to do shots of whiskey rock. Oh, yeah, shit. And it's just fucking, they're just firing back, punching each other in the arm. It's great. But,
cool. We're already on overtime here, so unless there's any last things you want to talk about before we wrap up here.
No, man, I appreciate you inviting me to come on the show, and, you know, anytime I'm available. I'm usually available Saturday afternoon because that's when it is here. What is it? What time is it there, like 10:30?
It's 9:30 here in Texas.
I much prefer, you know, less people on the phone, so if I'm just going to be an extra fourth, then that's not necessary. You guys do a good job without me. But, yeah, if you ever need me, give me a call, brother.
No problem, dude.
And you know my policy, no show prep.
Yeah, well, we didn't do any show prep today, that's for sure.
Good talking to you, man. I'll let you go. I don't have any plugs.
All right, cool. You can even call your one buddy and tell him to listen to the show just for this.
Ah, Johnny Ringo.
What's going on, Johnny
Ringo?
I love you, Johnny Ringo.
You must be Ringo.
Keep your hand on your gun.
Johnny Ringo. The deadliest pistol there since Wild Bill.
Damn, what was his name again?
Johnny Ringo. Johnny Ringo, are you still on the line?
The story spread throughout the land that I had beaten Ringo's hand. And it was just the years, they say, that made me put my guns away. But on his grave, they can't explain the tarnished star above the name of Ringo.
Well, I would like to say that I hate everyone more now than ever before, except Johnny Ringo. He's the only guy that I like.
Hey, this is Johnny Ringo. How y'all?